This is the story about a woman who found herself in the middle of history being made and decided to, you know, mess with it. It takes place in the early 90s when Seattle was having a cultural moment. The grunge scene was exploding, and suddenly all these people who didn't know Seattle from Shelbyville wanted in on the action. That included the paper of record, the New York Times. But their reporter soon found himself outfoxed by a clever and highly caffeinated young woman named Megan Jasper. Sound Effects' Jennifer Wing takes it from here.
Sub Pop Records in Seattle was in the thick of everything in the early 1990s. The small label was the launching pad for Nirvana, Soundgarden, and Mudhoney. Megan Jasper was in her early 20s when her love of music led her from Massachusetts to the West Coast. She got a job working the front desk at Sub Pop.
I would describe the office as this incredibly creative, weird space where anyone who may have been a misfit in any way felt probably welcomed.
Even though the music scene was boiling over, Sub Pop's finances back then were not. Megan and a bunch of other people got laid off. One day, her old boss at Sub Pop gave her a call. They were still on good terms. He told her that the New York Times had called him and that they wanted to do a story about the culture of grunge. Now, this was one of many, many queries from all over the world that Sub Pop was fielding. Megan's old boss punted the call to her.
He knew that I love a prank. He knew that I enjoy and appreciate a sense of humor. And he knows that I'm a wise ass. So, and knew that maybe I could use a break in the day.
A day that was already really buzzing.
I maybe was on my third or fourth French press. I was just in a mode that probably is similar to this sound. And I went for it.
The reporter from the New York Times wanted Megan to be a guide, to help the readers of this reputable paper feel as close to the flames of this new music scene as possible. He wanted Megan to tell him how people in the grunge scene talked. What was their secret language?
And I just thought, really? Okay, like, sure, but there really wasn't a secret language, or, you know, it seemed like a fairly bizarre request to me. So I just thought, sure, you want a lexicon? I will totally give you a lexicon. And I remember at that moment jotting things down. And what I was jotting down were words that rhymed. I was jotting down funny expressions that came from all different places. So I sort of just said, well, why don't you give me a word and I'll give you the grunge translation.
First, they covered clothes.
I'll try to make something sound a little believable. So fuzz, because people were wearing kind of fuzzy looking sweaters. Big boots, I called kickers. I thought that's kind of believable. That's not a stretch. And then as the requests got a little bit away from clothing, I just thought this is where I can stretch my answers.
Lame stain.
Loser.
The list wasn't very long.
Big bag of bloatation.
Drunk.
But it was really specific.
Tom Tom Club.
Uncool outsiders.
Whack slacks.
Old ripped jeans.
Cobb Knobbler.
Loser.
And all I could hear was this. I could hear the writer typing on their keyboard. The answers got weirder. Okie dokie artichokey for, I think that meant right on or something. Bound and Hagged. Bound and Hagged is staying home on a Friday or Saturday night. Who would ever have a word for that anyways? Seriously? And Swinging on the Flippity Flop was inspired by the son of a diner owner in Northampton, Massachusetts. He used to wear a shirt that said see you on the flippity flop, and it always cracked me up when I would see him walking down Main Street. So I just thought swinging on the flippity flop could be hanging out. It was never questioned. We never got to a point where anybody said, oh, come on, like, this is crazy or this isn't true. So it became our little pretend language.
A few weeks passed. Megan forgot about the call. Then, early one morning, her phone rang. It was her mom.
And my mom from Worcester, Massachusetts, who read the New York Times every day, said, Jesus Christ, have you looked at the paper today? So I said, no, I didn't. What's happening? And she said, go to the store and get a paper and call me back. So I went down to the store. I got the New York Times. I brought it back, and all I could think was, oh, This got printed in the New York Times.
Megan felt bad for lying, and she was worried what her friends in Seattle would think. Would they be offended? Would they be confused? No. Everyone here in the Northwest, they got it. They got the joke.
I remember being at a show at the Crocodile Cafe, and I remember people cutting out the lexicon and putting a safety pin through it and wearing it on their shirts. It gave people a good laugh. And I think people were grateful for that because there were wonderful moments. There were also many eye roll moments back then because everything was changing so fast and because you couldn't do anything without people studying it.
A few more months ticked by, and a reporter for The Baffler, a left-wing magazine, got in touch with Megan. The reporter wanted to confirm that the lexicon of grunge was indeed a hoax.
Of course. Like, how would it not be a joke? And he called me after that, and he said, I just have to tell you, the New York Times is irate. They're feeling embarrassed and humiliated, but all of, like, so many other writers are, like, think this is the greatest thing in the world, and who could pull a prank on the New York Times? And I just thought, well, apparently anybody can. I don't think I'm that special.
An editor from the New York Times style section called. She was screaming at Megan over the phone. But the editor was also trying to play it cool, telling Megan that the paper knew the whole time that this strange vocabulary list was really just all tongue-in-cheek. Some of the words started to take on a life of their own. One of them, lamestain, showed up printed on t-shirts. Another, harsh realm, which in Megan's caffeinated imagination means a bummer, became the title of a short-lived science fiction TV show.
And in those moments, like learning that there was a TV show called Harsh Realm, it would make me smile, but I never watched the show.
Megan eventually went back to work at Sub Pop. Today, she's the CEO, and she fully supports pranks in the office. Back to that angry phone call from the New York Times styles editor. After all of the yelling was done, but before the line went dead between the East and West Coast, the editor asked Megan one last question. Do you know where I can get one of those lamestain t-shirts?